Rosh Hashanah, Yemei Hadin, Yemim Noraim that are coming our way, whether you like it or not. A diyuk that we made in the tefillah. It's a grammatical digduk, but if you appreciate the grammar, you see that there's a big, big difference based on the punctuation that we give to a word. Sometimes the punctuation gives the whole meaning to the word. So I made the following observation. Zochrenu lechayim. Melech hafetz bachayim. We went from le to ba. I'll say it again. Zochrenu lechayim is a sheva under the le. Zochrenu lechayim. Melech hafetz. We don't say bechayim. In our shidur it says melech hafetz. Bahayim. We went from a Sheva to a Patah. Again, if you don't know anything about grammar, so that doesn't really mean anything to you. But if you know the difference between a Sheva and a Patah, you see in that little line over there where we're asking for life, it actually it gives us the whole Chiddush, the whole Yesod. So we have to open up the Mahzor of Rosh Hashanah, and the highlight of Rosh Hashanah after the Lubya is the Musaf. That's the highlight. It's the longest Amidah of the year. Some guys, the way they pray, every Amidah is the longest Amidah of the year, but in size-wise, it's the longest Amidah. And over there we have Shofarot. That's the last section. In Shofarot, there's a very, very interesting hatima to the beracha of Shofarot. Since Shofar is the essence of the day, so the hatima of Shofarot is really going to give us the theme of the day. The theme of Rosh Hashanah is Shofar. And the beracha of the Shofar is in the third section of the Amidah. And the hatima gives us the essence. So we say over there, Kishomeya kol shofar ata umaazin teruah ve'en domelach. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shomeya kol shofar umaazin teruah. He's the maazin teruah ve'en domelach. There's nobody like him. In the previous shiurim on Shabbat, we went into the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hears the shofar. Even though it's not his obligation to hear the shofar, the obligation to hear the shofar is on the congregation. Hashem is not hayav to hear shofar. If I was writing that beracha, I would have said, ki atem, the Jewish people, shum'im kol shofar, right, ma'azinim teru'ah, we're the one that are ma'azin teru'ah, but the Mahzor says, no, shofar is blown, not only so we could hear it, but we want God to hear it. Although, we don't say that about Megillat Esther. We don't say, oh, ki shomeya kol Megillat Esther ayom benahamim. So if you remember, we said a whole derash on this recently. And we went and explained that really, the shofar is a form of tefillah. So, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shomeya Tefillat Kol Peh, so there's a new type of tefillah, it's called Tefillat HaShofar. It's a strange tefillah, it doesn't come from the mouth, it doesn't have any words, it really breaks all the rules of what a tefillah normally is, but we brought proofs that it's actually a tefillah, and therefore, if it's a tefillah, then God's Shomeya. That's one of God's functions. God is Shomeya tefillah. So if you're a Shomeya tefillah, he's also a Shomeya teruah. Now, only God can understand the sounds of the shofar. So that's what we say, ve'endo melach, Ki Shomeya kol shofar ata v'shomeya u'ma'azin teruah ve'endo melach. Because, we wouldn't know the Morse code of the shofar. If somebody goes, do, what is he saying? What is he saying? So they were the Gaber, the Shofar, it's Endo Melach. There's nobody like God in the sense that he can understand You know, I wrote a pirush on Amida. Okay, it was easy. You take a dictionary, Baruch, the source of all blessings, Ata, you, Hashem. But I cannot write a pirush on the shofar, the sounds. There's no words. But who is Umazin Teruah ve'endo melach? God, you're Umazin Teruah ve'endo melach. Nobody's like you. I just like to point out that on this inyan that the shofar has the status of a tefillah, more proofs to it. I think it's very, very significant. You know, we blow the shofar in the middle of Kaddish. It's strange. Chabavaya says you shouldn't even fold your tefillin during the Kaddish. I said the Kaddish got to stop, at least for the first five. And all of a sudden now we're importing a mitzvah, putting it in the Kaddish. If somebody would come as you're saying the Kaddish to ask for tzedakah, we tell them Kaddish. And here we take a random shofar. But according to what we're saying, it's very good. Because if you say that shofar is a tefillah, so therefore it would make sense that right in that Kaddish where we're going to say Titkabal Selotano Ba'otana. So it's appropriate. We're not importing a random mitzvah into the Kaddish. We're importing a mitzvah that is the Bechina of the Kaddish. It's the same theme of the Kaddish. But I wanted to add a point to that. You know, tefillah has many words. The Hakam Baruch Allah Shomor Haktama Ter Bnei Yosef Sidur, the blue one, and the Ohel Abraham Gabriel Shrem. So he wrote a Hakdama. So in his Hakdama, he doesn't write too many Hakdamot. It's one of the few ones that he wrote. And over there he writes from the Midrash that there's 10 Lishonot of Tefillah. Tefillah has 10 different expressions. One of the expressions of Tefillah is Atar. Vayi'atar Yitzhak Lashem Lenokha Eshto. Right? He entreated God. The Gemara says, what is Atar? Atar is a pitchfork. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Is it a pitchfork or is it tefillah? You know, Rav Hirsch has a rule that when you have alternate interpretations to the same word, there has to be a connection between the word. You're not going to just take a random interpretation. So what's the explanation between, you know, a pitchfork and tefillah? So the explanation is if the hazan takes too long, you take a pitchfork out, you send them outside the shul. Another explanation the Gemara says is that pitchfork grabs the bales of hay and turns them over. Flips the bales of hay. So to tefillah is able to turn midat adin to midat rahamim. So it's an atar. It's like a pitchfork. You know, God forbid midat adin is on top. You make an atar, you turn it over, midat rahamim. So I don't think it's a coincidence that the name that the Torah calls the sound is teruah. The root word of teruah is atar, which is one of the lashonot of tefillah. So you see the lashon of the tefillah is in the shofar. And we know that the purpose of the shofar is to actually turn the midat adin to midat rahamim. Rabbeinu Ari writes in the Shem Yudke Vavke, the Vav represents the midat rahamim. The He represents midat adin. In the Yudke Vavke. So it makes sense now you have Tiru'ah. Tiru'ah is actually Otiyot Atar, which is to pray, and the leftover letters you have is Vav He. Because the purpose of the shofar is to turn the He to a Vav, to turn the Midat Adin into Midat Adin. So therefore the word Tiru'ah actually is telling us the whole story. It's a mituk. It's a sweetening of the judgment. So that's the simple explanation what it means. In the sense that you understand what this tefillah and that you react to it. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that right after we blow the shofar in the Kaddish on Rosh Hashanah, we blow Tashrat, Tashat, and Tarat. And right after that, what's the next words that come out of our mouth? So we say, Te'anu v'te'ateru. What's this te'ateru?
We never find this word ta'atiru, atar, in the tefillah and al-sidur. Ta'anu v'ta'atiru. Ta'anu is on the words of the Kaddish. And ta'atiru, that just like God, you should answer the conventional prayer that comes out of our mouth, v'ta'atiru, you should answer the tefillah of the shofar, which is a atar, which is minashon bayi atar, which is minashon teruah. That's why they put that word in the Kaddish. Ta'anu v'ta'atiru was the hint that not only do we want God to answer our verbal prayer, but v'ta'atiru, the teruah, answer it also. V'em do melach, there's nobody like you, God, because only you can understand the meanings that are laid in inside these teruah. Like it says, ala Elohim b'teruah, Adonai b'kol shofar. Before the shofar is blown, God is Elohim, God is judgment. And all of a sudden what happens? Hashem b'kol shofar. The judgments are broken, and all of a sudden God goes from Elohim to Yudke Vavke. Rabbeinu Ali said, Rosh Hashanah, when we come into the synagogue, there's three courts that are set up. Three batei dinim. Each one is Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. Three courts. And there's one court on the sidelines, that's the court of Rahamim. So you need to really bypass these three courts of judgment. So he says, every Elohim, which is Midat Tadin, is represented by a different gematria. The first Midat Tadin is 86. Elohim is 86, as you know. Elohim is also 300, as you know. How could Elohim equal 300? Bimilui. Aleph is 111. Aleph, Lamed, Pe, Aleph. Lamed is 74. Lamed Mem Dalet, so that's 185. He is He Yud, that's 15, that's 200. Yud, Yud Vav Dalet is 20, so that's 220. Mem is Mem, Mem is 80. There you go, 300. And then the third court, he says, of the Elohim is 200. How could Elohim equal 200? You do that, Biribua. You do Aleph, underneath it, Aleph Lamed, underneath that, Aleph Lamed here. Nahman, you know that. So you do Aleph, Aleph Lamed, Aleph Lamed He, Aleph Lamed He Yud, and if you add all those numbers together, you get 200. So it says the Benu Ari, how do you bypass the court? You take the shofar. The first letter of shofar is what? Ashin. Ashin is 300. That bypasses the first Elohim. The second two letters of shofar is what? Vav Peh. That's 86. You bypass the second one. The last letter of shofar is what? Resh. That's the 200. So in the shofar itself, you're able to bypass the three judgments of Elohim. So it's a tefillah, it's an atar. Ala Elohim b'tru'ah. Adonai b'kol shofar. The Elohim turns into Yud Kevark. But today we came to explain in a different way. That's the postscript of the last, episode that we had. Now we start a new understanding. What does it mean? Ve'en do melach. The tour in Ilchot Rosh Hashanah in Siman Tavkuf Pe Aleph. Beautiful tour. The tour writes, Rochatzim u'mistaperim. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, he's supposed to take a bath, take a shower, take a haircut, shave. Amar Rabbi Simon Ketiv Kimi Goy Gadol. Who is like the Jewish people? Rabbi Hanina Rabbi Yoshua Omrim, Eze Uma Ke Uma Zu, Sheyodat Ofia Shel Eloheha, Perush Menhaga Bedinav. That the Jewish people, they know the protocol of God, they know the way He behaves, they know His way. Why? Shemenago Shel Olam Adam Sheshlo Din. Normally, when a person has to go to court, Lo Alenu Velo Alechem, Lovei Shehorim. He puts on a black suit. Umetatev shehorim. He puts on a black shawl. Umegadeh zekano. He grows his beard. Sounds like a yeshiva guy. Ve'eno. Ve'eno hotech siponav. He doesn't cut his nails. Why? Lefi she'eno yodeya ech yetze dino. He's nervous. He comes into the bed din. You know, he's very, very nervous. Aval Yisrael, Enamken. The Jewish people are not like that.
Azach with Abia, they wear white. Lovshim Levanim. Umetatefim Levanim. Umegalhim the Karnam. They shave the beard. Umehatechim the Punehem, and they cut the nails. The Uchlim, the Shotim, the Smeim. The Rosh Hashanah, they eat and they drink. On Rosh Hashanah, the Fi, Shiyodim, Shakadosh Baruch Hu, Yaase Lahem Nes. Wow. That Lashon of the Tur is an incredible Lashon. What do you mean Yaselem Nes? El Sokhim Ala Nes. What is Yaselem Nes? Just say, we know that God's going to give us a good judgment. She has a keota. That's what we really say. But the Tur doesn't say that. The Tur says an amazing Lashon here. That we're certain that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Yaseh Lanu Nes. He's going to make for us a miracle. What is this miracle that we are relying on? That we are, you know, coming to Rosh Hashanah, we're so confident that the result of Rosh Hashanah is Shiaseh Lanu Nes. So in order to understand the sword of Rosh Hashanah, we need to open up Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is Or HaChaim Siman Resh Kaf He. Resh Kaf He, I have it here ready. This is it's not in Hilchot Rosh Hashanah, but if you want to know the sod of Rosh Hashanah, you have to open up Hilchot Berachot. Sometimes, you know, sometimes the secret of the day is not written in the item itself. The Torah is rich in one place and poor in another place. So if anybody asks you, where do you know the essence of Rosh Hashanah, you come to Hilchot Berachot. What's the Beracha? So he says over here, Shulchan Aruch, Halakha Aleph, הראה את חברו לאחר 30 יום, אומר שהחיינו. If you didn't see your friend within 30 days, then you see him. So you have to make a ברכה. שהחיינו וקיימנו והגיענו לזמן הזה. Why? Because you're so happy that she, the משנה ברורה says, בין איש לאישה, והיינו אם רואה אשתו. He didn't see his wife in 30 days. His mother-in-law, I don't know if there's a Shehayana on that. Now we got to look at the books on that one over there. I think after 30 days, if you didn't see her, you make a Shehayana. I think it's the opposite on that. But I remember hearing that once. I got to check that up. I remember hearing that somewhere. Kevan Chu Sameach v'nehene b'riyatam. He's so happy to see them. He didn't see his wife for 30 days. He traveled, went to the Ori in 30 days, whatever. He comes back. Shehayana k'yimam. However, today, maybe this doesn't apply. Today we have telephones, today we have emails, today we have, you know, different communications. So we're still in touch, even though you're not in touch. So you have to ask the poskim how we do it. But today, see, the Mishnah Berurah writes, V'im kibel memenu mechtav. Let's say you got a letter from the person. Or she'anashim odinu meshlomo, or somebody told you, oh, I saw your wife, she's doing fine, and everybody's fine. So yes, the odd bahurim b'sefek berachot lakers. I have a sefek. So you make b'li shem malchut. You see somebody after 30 days, baruch shayyan v'kiyman v'gyan l'zaman hazeh. B'li shem malchut. Then Shulchan Aruch continues. Ve'ahar yam chodesh. If you didn't see somebody in a year after 12 months, mevarech mehayam meti. Nu beracha, unbelievable. You didn't see a guy in a year. What? You're still alive? Already, I thought you were in Staten Island already. You're still here? You're still vertical? So if we have to make a beracha on the guy. Baruch atah Hashem, hayam metim. So the Mishnah Berurah explains, well, what happened in a year? Why, after a year, you make tehayat metim? So he says something incredible. Here it is, the sword of Rosh Hashanah is here about that. It's amazing, Mishnah Berurah. Mechayam metim. Ve'az in beberech shechayam. There's no shechayam on that guy. Ve'tam berachah zu katab b'chidushay agadot lefi shebechol shana ha'adam nidon b'rosh shana. Because every year a person is judged on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Im la mavet, im la chayim. You judge whether you're going to make it or whether you're not going to make it. Im ro'eu ahar, Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim zeh. If you saw him, let's say, after Rosh Hashanah, ve'en ro'eu oto ad ahar Rosh Hashanah v'Yom haba, and you didn't see him until after the next Rosh Hashanah, hare abar alav din im lamut im lav. So he went through the court of life and death. Ve'al kahach omrim baruch mehayem metim, shenitzol medin mita ve'Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippurim. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. You know what he's saying? So bottom line, you saw the guy Rosh Hashanah, okay, fine. You didn't see to the next Rosh Hashanah. So he passed a judgment. He passed a judgment. And the judgment was a judgment of life and death. Now, I wouldn't make the Berakha of the Hayyam Mitim. That's not the right Berakha. If that's the Pshat, I would say, Baruch Podeh Masir. You know, you got saved. You know, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Shepetaranu. You got exonerated. You know, Baruch. There's got to be another beracha that you make on the guy. Baruch Sheetzil Etchem Mekaf Paro Mekaf Miyad Mitzrayim. You know, whatever the beracha, but Mahayem Metim. I see a guy. He comes out of the courtroom, and it was either he was going to go to jail for 100 years, or they're going to give him the death penalty, or they're going to exonerate him. So he comes out of the court and says, they exonerated him. Baruch Mahayem Metim. He wasn't a man to Mahayem. He got a continuation of life. Rabotai, from here we learn one of the most amazing Hiddushim. There was a rabbi called the Granat. Granat was from Naftali Trupp. Rav Naftali Trupp was the star student of the Hafetz Chaim. He was Rosh Hashiva in Radin. A few months ago, we went to Radin on a class trip. And we went to the grave of the Hafetz Chaim. That's highlight. Right next to the grave of the Hafetz Chaim is the Granat of Naftali Trupp. In yeshivas, we learned Hiddushei Granat. Tremendous Gaon. So he once gave the following derasha. He said in the Slichot, we open it up by saying, Kedalim uchrashim dafaknu telatecha. God, we're coming to knock on your door. Kedalim uchrashim, like people that are poor, impoverished. So he said, what do you mean we're impoverished? So he said the following. He said, people make a mistake. People think that the way Rosh Hashanah works is midin Rosh Hashiva. Is they think it works midin hazakah, midin muhzak, and therefore the law of muhzak says, listen, if I'm holding on to something, I'm the muhzak. You want to take it away from me, so I'm motzi mechavero ala varaya. So the burden of proof is on you to take away what I have. So people make the mistake in going into Rosh Hashanah thinking I'm a muhzak. I have my house, I have my bank account, I have my health, I have my family. This is a muhzak, and I had it for years already. So halakha says if you carry something for only 3 years already, it's a strong azakah. Well, the more so if you have it for many years. So therefore, as if we come to Rosh Hashanah, listen, God, the onus is on you, and if you want to take it away, the burden of proof is on you. But where the muhzak? And the muhzak is always in the stronger position. The burden is on the one that wants to take it away.
That's your 9/10
of the law. So now, says Naftali Trupp, that's a mistake. A person is given a lease for all these things that I just mentioned for 1 year at a time. The lease is up on Erev Rosh Hashanah. He's on Erev Rosh Hashanah. You have nothing. It's not the question over here, he's a muhzak, you have zero. Everything now is renegotiated. Everything is discussed from square one.
So therefore, he says, when you come to Rosh Hashanah, he says, "Kedalim uchrashim dafakut latek." We're coming with nothing. We're starting at square zero. You're not coming along to say, "Hey, maintain." There's no maintenance here. The lease is up on every single item. Therefore, we're coming with nothing. So therefore, he says, there was a rabbi called Rav Eisel Harif. Eisel Harif, with this yesod of Rav Naftali Trump, "Kedalim uchrashim." Coming with nothing. He answered the following question. Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, Adam nidon bechol yom. Adam nidon bechol yom, so what's Rosh Hashanah? So he says, Adam nidon bechol yom midin mohzak. Then you're mohzak. So every day already you're mohzak already. So already the onus is on the bedin and shamayim to think of an excuse to take it away from us, which is difficult. However, the din on Rosh Hashanah is not a din of mohzak. The din on Rosh Hashanah is to renew the lease bichlal. Then you can be judged every day midin mohzak. So it's a totally different judgment. It's a much more severe judgment. During the year we have a mituk. It's a sweetening judgment because I'm holding it already. Okay, he's holding it already. They have to really think of a good reason to take it away from you. But Rosh Hashanah, no one's a mohzak. No one's coming along and saying, "Well, this is what I have already." You have nothing. everything is taken back and put into the bank now. Now we're starting from square zero. We're starting from square one. You want to establish it again? So that's already the deen of Rosh Hashanah. Well, if that's the case, we understand. Once Rosh Hashanah comes, basically we have nothing. We have nothing. The status of a man or a woman that comes to the footsteps of Rosh Hashanah, for all practical purposes, is a met. He's a met. The judgment on Rosh Hashanah is begeder tehiyat hametim. That God is coming along and taking a person that has nothing, not even life. So if a person makes it out of the court of Rosh Hashanah, you were resurrected. Guy went from not rags to riches. He went from zero to life. So that's the Mishnah Berurah hinting that's a tremendous yesod, that when you see a guy from one Rosh and he passed another Rosh Hashanah, you got to tell the guy, "Baruch ba'ayya metin, you were resurrected. You went in with nothing and you still, you got something. You were resuscitated." Rosh Hashanah, it's the pshat, it's a revival. God is reviving us. It's a mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, Rosh Hashanah. It's not that, you're going to the guy and saying, "Could you extend my lease?" It's not extending of it. We're starting from zero. We're starting from nothing. So therefore the Mishnah Berurah, once he reveals that to us, once you have that revelation to us, a lot of things fall into place. One thing falls into place, for example, is why on Rosh Hashanah is the reading of Rosh Hashanah the Akedah Yitzchak. Why do we read the Akedah? It didn't happen on Rosh Hashanah, according to some. Some say it did happen on Rosh Hashanah. Some say it happened on Kippur. My theory always was, if anybody you don't want to mention on Kippur, it's Yitzchak, because he's Midat Hadin. That's the last one you want to mention. But we mentioned it. We tell the whole story of Akedat Yitzchak. And the pshat is, because that's the whole inyan of Rosh Hashanah. What happened? The Midrash writes, Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. It says when he put him on the mizbeach, what ended up happening? First, when Abraham was bringing him, it says. So Abraham had to build the mizbeach. He had to build the mizbeach. So the midrash says, where was Yitzhak? No, he put him on the side and he covered him because he knew that the satan is going to be mekatreg. All of a sudden, a brick will fall on him and make him a baal moon. Wow. So therefore, he had to put him on the side in order to be mekatreg.
the Mekubalim write that that's the source why we cover the shofar before we blow it. Because since the shofar is to remember Akedat Yitzhak, and we don't want to be Mekatreg. You know, the Satan, we Mekatreg that shofar, but who knows what, it'll fall on the floor, it'll crack. So we cover the shofar to remember Avraham Avinu covering Yitzhak, so there should not be a Ketrug before the Beruk Mitzvah. Okay, fine, but what are we doing in Akedat Yitzhak? So it depends upon the Mizbeah. So the Petket Ribili Ezer says something amazing. He says, all of a sudden, when he took the Ma'achel, Eshodet Beno, he was about to slaughter him. It says, Parcha Nishmato. The Neshama of Yitzhak left him. When the Neshama of him left him, what happened? All of a sudden, as the Neshama is going up, all of a sudden, the Neshama hears God saying to Avraham Avinu, "Al Mishlach Yadecha Lanar, Ma'ata Zuma." So the Neshama says, "Oh, boom!" It went back. Yitzchak Avinu wakes up. It says, "Be'ota Sha'a Amar Yitzchak Al Ragla Ve'Amar Baruch Ata Hashem Mechayem Metim." He established the Beracha of Mechayem Metim. The Mekubalim write that actually the first Beracha, the Amidah, was established by Avraham. Magen Avraham, and God protected Avraham from Ur Kazdim. Ela Kadosh is connected Yaakov, Vigdishet Kadosh Yaakov. The second Beracha was established by Yitzhak Avinu, Bene'eman Atal La'ayom Etim, Baruch Atal Hashem La'ayom Etim. That's already the time of Da'akedat Yitzhak. So therefore, since it's the first.
So the Rebbe told Nekibat Zafari.
Arzak Baruch, did you? The first time in the Torah that we see a Tehiyat Metim is by Yitzhak Avinu. So therefore, since the whole essence of Rosh Hashanah is a Tehiyat HaMetim, so then we got to find some story in Tanakh that's going to tell us about a form of Tehiyat HaMetim. We don't have too many stories in Tanakh about Tehiyat HaMetim. In the Torah, that's the first one. So therefore, the Inyan of Yitzhak, and what we're telling the people is just like Yitzhak, he had nothing on the Mizbeah. He had zero. He was gone. He was a goner, as they say. And all of a sudden, what? He was revived. So we say to the congregation, that's what's happening to you today over here. That you're coming over here, Kedalim Ukrashim Banu Lefanecha, you got zero to your name, you own nothing. You have
four of anything.
Right, right, myth, zero. Right, a myth, zero, he's not alive, a zero. That's the standard. When a guy comes into Rosh, he's a myth. So you're asking God, you know, resuscitate me. Give me life again. Oh, with this, we explain the Shulchan Aruch writes in the laws of Rosh Hashanah in Siman Taf Kuf Pe Gima. In Taf Kuf Pe Gima, let's see, Taf Kuf Pe Gima. Tavkuf Pegima. So he's talking about over here the Ramad, the Minhag of Tashlich. So he writes, Yesh Bedaktechim Sholchim El Nahar Lomar Pasuk Vetashlich Pemse Odam. Customers, they go to the river in order to. So why? Why do they go to the river? So why do we do it on Rosh Hashanah? Go to the river. So he says, "Mishum diita b'midrash she'avar Avraham Abinu ad savaro b'mayim k'she'alach lehakrivo agabei mizbeach." ואמר הושיע השם כי באו מים בד נפש ואנו עושים כן זכר לעקדה. זכר לעקדה. תשליק זכר לעקדה. And which part of the עקדה are you remembering? You're remembering a part of the עקדה where they were about to die. Because when they were walking, all of a sudden a river appeared. And that's it. Avraham Avinu said, that's it. He was up to his chinny chin chin, as the song goes. And Avraham Avinu said, that's it. הושיע אלוהים כי באו מים בד נפש. At that point, there's nothing like that. There's nothing. He's 1 second away. So they're telling you, that's Rosh Hashanah. You're 1 second away. And that's it. It's over.
So the tashlich not only is the throwing of the avodah, you gotta look at the water. When you look at the water, you have to remember the guy's drowning in the water. He's under. At that point, when he's under, that's it. Unless a miracle happens, somebody pulls him out, and you know the lifeguard, what do you call it, the coast guard comes and pulls him out, throws him a buoy. Finished. He's over. On Rosh Hashanah, we're all underwater.
Does the fish have any significance?
Zero. So there's a musar on the fish, but it's not for today's talk. Today's talk is the talk of Tehillat HaMetim. If that's the case, Rabotai, or that's the case, we see something else. The Kaf Ayin brings down that the Inyan of the 40 days. The Inyan of the 40 days from Rosh Hashanah, from Elul to Kippur. It's Keneged, he says, Yitzirat HaBalad. It takes 40 days for a fetus to become formed. You know, you can pray for gender up until 40 days. After 40 days, finished. It is what it is. Ma'ida ha'ba'ama. That basically, once 40 days happen, it's a complete entity. And then after that, it just develops, you know, gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But the 40 days is when everything becomes established. That's what the Torah says. So basically, it fits in very good what we're saying, which means, during these 40 days, we're nothing. We're developing ourselves. We don't even have a... So it's not only on Rosh Hashanah, it's the whole 40 days the Kapai learns, until you get to Kippur, now you're finally... I would have said, what are you doing? I'm 50 years old, I'm here. No, you're not here now, you're zero. You're starting to develop again from nothing. And hopefully on Yom Kippur, after 40 days, you'll have a... You'll have what to show for yourself.
Was there ever a case?
That's why. You got to look at the Guinness Book of World Records, Marcus. I don't know if there's ever a case. The point is, we're saying over here that on Yom Kippur, we also read a special reading. Yom Kippur, the reading is Yonah. Yonah is a very, very important story. The Midrash writes, where did Yonah come from? Where did he come from, this guy? Where did Yonah come from? He's a prophet. Where did he come from?
What city?
Now, I don't care what city. Well, he came from Rumson. What do I care where he came from? I want to know what is his origins. So the Torah tells us that Eliyahu Navi once stayed by an Almanah's house. And it was by the Almanah's house, her son died. And Eliyahu Navi revived the child. That child was Yonah. The story of Yonah is the only documented, or it's the first, I should say, first documented Beferush case that somebody was resurrected. Yitzhak is not Beferush. Yitzhak, we know it from Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. But the first explicit story where somebody went and resurrected somebody is Yonah. That's why we read Yonah in Yom Kippur. Because Yonah is on day 40. So we're reminding everyone at Botai, now you're going to become Tehillat HaMetim today. So nobody can come in and rest on their laurels, rest on past performance, rest on nothing. You're coming in on Rosh Hashanah with a blank piece of paper. And now you got to start negotiating from scratch. So there were the two readings of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have to do with the Inyan of the Tehillah. That's the case. We understand now. We understand the sword of the shofar. The shofar, the Maharal writes, Torah says, if a person commits a crime, how many lashes does he get?
30.
40. So that says 40. Arba'im yakin. The Gemara comes along and says,
39. Says the Maharal, what's the subject over here? It's 40 to 39. So he says, incredible. He says, because really you should get 40, because the body that you sinned with took 40 days to create. So therefore you should get lashes, as if to say, God says, I troubled myself for 40 days to develop you. Now you come along and you rebel. The body that I gave you that took me 40 days to develop, so that means 40, you know, one per day. So says the Maharas, what happened to day 40 then? So he says, the Zohar writes that on day 40, that's when you get the Neshama. You get the Neshama, so therefore, the Torah says, really, you should get punished for 40 days, because bottom of the Neshama, the goof is one. So you can't separate it. But once you gave Malkut to the 39, and now the body received all its punishments, now already you got rid of the Yetzer Hara, the 39. Now you can't punish the Neshama. The Neshama is really clean. It's only guilty to the Neshama for the goof. Once you already fixed the goof, so therefore the Hakamim took away day 40, because that's connected already the Neshama. So says the Maharal. Says the Maharal something unbelievable. He says, listen, on Rosh Hashanah we're praying for two things. On Rosh Hashanah we're praying for physical life, we're praying for spiritual life. Listen, you need to have physical life, you need to have money to do things, you need to have panasai, to have good health. We don't want to have your suni, we want to come, be able to come to shul every day, we want our eyes should work, our brain should work, we should be. You need physical stuff, otherwise you're not going to be able to do all this other stuff that we're trying to do over here. If you don't have panasai, then we're working all day long, we have time to sit and learn. We need to have peace of mind in our family, so our minds are clear that we can sit and study. These are very important things, so don't underestimate the importance of the physical stuff that we pray for. The physical stuff is really so we can have
hand in hand.
It goes hand in hand, so we can have the wherewithal to do the spiritual stuff. That's the real thing. The physical is not the physical. The physical is the spring for the spirituality. So therefore he says, unbelievable. He says, what happens? On Rosh Hashanah, we needed Tehiyat HaMetim. Well, somebody else was resurrected on Rosh Hashanah also. Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon, he was a golem. He just was a, you know, he was an animal cookie. He was just a, you know, an image of, you know, water and dust and dirt. And all of a sudden what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mechayeh Metim from Adam Rishon. He blew into his soul, the soul of life, and Adam Rishon becomes animated. Comes, the Maharal says, we reenact that moment every Rosh Hashanah by Yipach Be'atav, that God blew into the nostrils of Adam Rishon life. He said, you know what Tehiyat HaMetim takes place? At the time of the Shofar. The Baal Tukeya is taking the Shofar and he's blowing into the shofar at that moment over there. That's when the congregation sits, and that's when God comes down and sends down the new Tehiyat HaMetim for the coming year. That's when we're resurrected. After shofar is the moment over there. That's a scary moment. That's why we have to have such a reverence for the title of the Tehiyat HaShofar. It's Vayipach Be'apav. The sounds that are coming out of the shofar go into the person's soul, the Arizal writes, and therefore gives him the new energies, Be'azat Hashem, for the coming year. That's the fourth time. That's when it happens at the Miti. Oh, if that's when it happens at the time of Tkiyat HaShofar, the rabbis who established Amidah, they knew exactly all this. They're geniuses. They knew all this. So what did they say in the Tefillah? Kishomeya kol shofarat. Ma'azin teru'ah ve'en domelach. Ve'en domelach. Put those words in the highlight, the endomenach. Go take your siddur and go find out when are those words always used, endomenach. Look at the second berachah in Amidah. Rabotai, you only know it because I set it up. The second berachah in Amidah, we say, Vichamocha ba'al giburot. Umidomelach. And you know what makes you midomelach? Melech mimit umhayeh.
That's what makes God be Dobelach. By the way, in another place,
that's during the week, on Shabbat as well. You open up the Shabbat prayer, in the Berakha B'Yotzer over there, it says, Efes Peltach Goalenu Nimot HaMashiach, Umi Domelach Moshi'enu Lethayat HaMetim. So therefore, when you see those words, En Domelach, Hazal only used those words on something that's really En Domelach, Techayat HaMetim, only God. That's a key that God has. Once in a while he gives it to Shaliyah, but then he takes it back. It's not a key that he gives permanently to anybody. So therefore, there's no greater words to use at the time that we're blowing shofarot and musaf. We say, Ki ma'azin, ki chomea kosho, u'ma'azin tiru'a ve'en domelach. We're hinting that this is a moment of en domelach. Tiki'at ha-shofar is a moment of tehiyat ha-metim, of a time of a resurrection. It's a time of the inyan of the Akedat Yitzchak, where everything was taken away and it's given back new again. It's a time of Yonah ben Amitai. Yonah ben Amitai is the greatest musar to talk about resurrection, because it happened to him. You're talking to me. I had nothing, and now Nabi had to come along and blow the shofar. Give me a new. And that's what happens to every single person during these days over here. He's recreating himself. He's re-establishing himself. If that's the case of Botai, we need to reestablish ourselves on two levels. You know, there was a rabbi, Rabbi Hamanuna Saba, who came to the wedding, and they told him, Rabbi, sing us a song. So he gets up and he tells the band, you know, play this one over here. And they start playing the song. He sings, "Vaylan de mitnan, vaylan de mitnan." Whoa, we're gonna die! Whoa, we're gonna die! That was the wedding. That's the wedding song. You know, you sit with the wedding people. What song you want to march down to? Well, "Vaylan de mitnan."
First dance.
It's first dance. "Vaylan de mitnan." So we explained it. Listen, Nebuchadnezzar was not a party pooper, as we call him. Yeah, he comes ruining the party. Come sing a song, "Vaylan de mitnan." He knows that there's a mitzvah l'sameach atam mikala. He knows that. There's no mitzvah now to come and spoil the party. The biggest gidolim, when they went to the party, they danced, they were b'simcha. They tell me, Rabbi Menuna, if they talk to sing a song, they would tell him, "Agad, to sameach atam." Now you have to be mature to understand this. But the real maturity of people and happiness of people is that they live with the reality that you're going to die one day. And therefore, those that live with that reality live with purpose. If a person doesn't remember that he's going to die, so therefore, what does he do all day long? He does empty things. He does emptiness, because he thinks that life is just one amusement. Life is just one big thrill. The tzaddikim, by them pondering Yom HaMitah, didn't give them a depression. It invigorated them. By land of mitnan, and therefore, because mitnan, therefore we're gonna take advantage of our lives. We're gonna do things that are meaningful. That's the old timers. That's the way mitah with the famous story of the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Says one guy was Hasid. He slept in the cemetery on Rosh Hashanah. Went to the cemetery. Why do you go to the cemetery? Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be happy. It's not Shabbat, is in the cemetery. No, but the tzaddikim, mitah was an understanding to them that life has a purpose. Life has a purpose, and therefore there's an end to this. Therefore you gotta do things, you gotta accomplish things. Okay? It's not just you don't do forever. It was a motivator. I guess today you can't do that. If you get up and tell the kid, "You're going to die, hey, don't scare my kid. They want to forget about that. They want everybody to talk about mitah. You know, if somebody gets up and gives a speech and does, "Rabotai, I want to talk about Olam HaBa today." What do they tell you? Who died?
Yeah.
Who died? What are you talking about Olam HaBa for? And somebody dies, so you talk about Olam Haba. Don't talk about that when we, you know, don't ruin our day. Don't ruin our day when we're living now. Don't start mentioning about. So nobody wants to hear that. So at a wedding, Adrabah, knew that the people that were mature people. So you could say, Vailam de Mitnana, they were dancing, Baruch Hashem. Therefore, they're telling the young couple, therefore, do things, accomplish things, become great, do mitzvot, do Torah. So Rosh Hashanah, we resuscitate. Rosh Hashanah, God blows back and tells two forms of life. First of all, we got to get our physical life back. But the physical life's got to be a physical life with the understanding that you didn't get a physical life just to do physical things. The physical life is a springboard not to the spiritual things. That's the only thing Rosh Hashanah about that. Therefore, we go back to our prayer. In the beracha of Tehiyat HaMetim, we pray Zochrenu Nehayim. That's the best place to put Zochrenu Nehayim. In the beracha of Tehiyat HaMetim. See, again, Rosh Hashanah is Tehiyat HaMetim. What do we say? Zochrenu Lehayim. Lehayim means physical life. Melech Hafetz Bahayim. When you have a Ba, a Patah, the Patah is taking the place of the letter He. So therefore, it's as if it says, Kotvenu Zochrenu Lehayim, Melech Hafetz Bahayim is like saying, Behahayim. The first Zochrenu Lehayim, it's physical. That's not the main item. However, why do you want the physical life? Melech Hafetz, what do you really want, God, out of our life? It's got to be from Lehayim to Bahayim, to a Behahayim, to the life. The life is the spiritual. And then we're praying for both. We're saying to God, now you're resurrecting us, you're giving us a new. So give us everything. Give us a new neshama. Give us a new encouragement. Give us a new hitoredu. Give us a whole new, you know, a whole makeover from beginning to end. But if a person just has a physical existence and he doesn't have a spiritual purpose to it, it's the living dead. That's a better way of saying it. Rav Chaim Brim used to say it like this. Rav Chaim Brim said, "Alav Shalom." Guy comes to town and he sees a guy in a box, glass box. And he tells him, "What is the guy in the box here?" So this guy's on death row. He is getting a death penalty. And they don't feed him. And he sobs. And in a few days, you'll see the guy. So why do they put him in the box? The mind is moving around. I want everybody to see this is what happens when you rebel. That's why I never saw such a thing like this. The next day, he walks by. He sees the guy chewing. So he goes to his friend and he told me they don't feed him, he's eating. He says, "You fool, what is he eating?" He's eating himself. He says, the more he eats this guy, the closer he is to death. Rav Chaim Brim would say, that's the same thing. You see people are living, they're eating, they're running around, they're eating themselves. They're eating themselves up. The more that they're eating, the more that they're living, they're bringing themselves one step closer, Hashem Shalom, to their destruction. So therefore, on Rosh Hashanah, we're coming along and we're requesting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu a real Hayim. Hayim Nitzhayim. But with Hayim Nitzhayim, we need to get all the diversions out of the way. So first we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zochrenu Lehayim, give us a physical life. Lehayim. But what do you really want, God? You don't care physical life. That's not the main item. However, Kodvenu Lehayim Melech Hafetz Bahayim. The Lehayim is to get to Bahayim. And then, what type of life ultimately do we want? Kodvenu Besifr Hayim Lema'anach Elohim Hayim. It's a life that's Lema'anach. It's a life that's being lived for you. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is. And in that Sechut, we have a chance to get to Hayat HaMetim. In that Sechut, where we're telling God, listen, we know this is called Vailan Demitnan. We know already that it's a serious thing over here. And we know that life isn't forever. So asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because we have it already, we have nothing. We know that once Rosh Hashanah comes, everything is taken away. But we're asking now, since we understand this concept, so in that Zechut, you should resurrect us. And we should go from Dalim, and we should go to Ashirim. And that's what the Tur said. The Tur writes that the Jewish people know that when they come on Rosh Hashanah, they put on their white clothes. According to this, you understand. Because who wears white clothes? You guys, you're so smart. Who else wears white clothes? The Met. So we come on the white clothes and Rosh Hashanah, the Techlichim, as if we're telling God, we're dead. We're dead men. We're dead men here today. We're wearing already the Techlichim. We're standing here dead. But what are we batuah? She'aseh lanu nes. Because Tehiyat HaMetim is a nes. It's a miracle. Coming out of a courtroom with an innocent judgment, it's not a nes. It's 50-50. The judgment is going to say guilty. But when a guy's dead in the tirbe, and all of a sudden the guy comes out, nes gadol haya sham, nes gadol haya po. So that's why the tools of Lashon is meduyak, betuhim, she'aseh lanu nes, that God will make a miracle. What miracle? The miracle of resurrection. The same miracle that happened to Yitzhak on that day, the same miracle that happened to Adam Rishon on that day, and the same miracle that happened to Yonah ben Amittai. אשכול השנים רבות, לעמוד, רבי חנניה בן נתן שאומר, עזב באגוד כל ישראל, לפיכך, בעלי, כל זה אופס מעצר, כל יצורה, בידי.